So we put multiple evidence-based programs in there, and we've gone through, over the last 4 years, a process working in partnership with the community to identify what are their top concerns, what are their top risk and protective factors. They've selected those, and then they've matched programs to those needs.
So give us an example of some of the programs.
Well, one of our programs is called the PATHS program, which is a social-emotional learning program that is a highly effective program. It takes place in elementary schools. So we have PATHS in 3 elementary schools, grades 1 through 5, in that neighborhood. And the teachers are implementing the program, and it's part of the kids' normal school day. Another is Strengthening Families, where we work with kids that are ages 10 to 14 and their parents. And they go through a 7-week class together to learn better skills of how to relate and better parenting and better skills as a kid. And that age is a hard one. So
we'll see the PATHS program. What actually happens? Like, what do the kids do?
Oh, well, one of my favorite things that they do, every day, there's a PATHS kid of the day. And we actually do this in our staff meetings as well. But so a kid from the classroom is selected to be the kid of the day. Everyone gets a chance to be the PATHS kid of the day. And the kids, so the kid's selected, and then the teacher gives the kid a compliment. Someone from the class, raises their hand and gives a kid a compliment. And then the kid gives him or herself a compliment. So it's really reinforcing. And then you wear the sticker, so everybody in the school knows you're the PATHS kid of the day. And so throughout the day, then principal may come up to you, the other teachers, so it becomes a whole school culture that's recognizing and reinforcing what's good about you.
So how does that tie into, say, the research? If we go back to academia, what are you finding that is missing maybe from some kids' lives that you're trying to implement, say, through just that very simple thing?
Yeah, well, that is an example of, well, one is noticing what's really great about that kid and then reinforcing it. So reinforcement, that positive reinforcement of what's good, is very, very important. And I'll just kind of continue that with an example from the Montbello community. So we did a community survey, and we found in the schools, at home, and in the community, kids had a lot of opportunities to do good things, but they didn't feel like they were being recognized for what they were doing. And so we've implemented this whole community-wide positive recognition campaign in Montbello. And twice a year, we have a formal ceremony where we recognize kids and community members. Well, last Friday night was our last one for this year. And we recognized 55 kids. And then their families all came. So we were expecting maybe 150. We had 300 people there recognizing their kids. And my favorite part was seeing at the end, I love seeing all the families there, big families all there to support their kid that was getting an award. And these are kids from all ages, from kindergarten all the way through seniors in high school, and all different families, all different nationalities, all there together to watch their kids get this award. And at the end, there was a big picture taken of all 55 kids just against the wall. And what happened was all the parents and family members gathered to take pictures of the picture being taken. And it was an incredible amount of love. And that is what works. That's what the research shows.
Well, getting back to the research, what are you seeing in kids that don't have this positive reinforcement, that don't have, say, a good self-esteem and don't have this awareness of things that are good? How does that translate into behavior that is violent, that you're trying to prevent?
Well, I'm going to first say it's complicated and it's not the same path for every kid. And some kids who don't have that end up violent. Other kids may end up, self-medicating and using drugs and alcohol or cutting behaviors, mental health issues. So it translates into all kinds of different problem behaviors. But it's basically, maybe one of the simplest ways to say it is when kids don't have those pro-social opportunities, they don't have the supports and the love in any of their environments. Sometimes if they have it in just one place, then, they have that nurture and that love and they're seen for who they are. Maybe it's just at school by one teacher. That can even change the trajectory. So when they don't have that, what happens, kind of the most common pathway to delinquency would be they hit their teenage years and they start and they're isolated. They're a lot of kids don't like them, but they find this delinquent peer group of other kids that are in that same situation. And they get reinforced for delinquency, for troubled behavior.
So the wrong behavior is being reinforced.
Exactly. Just that same way as I was talking about that positive behavior. It's the delinquent behavior then becomes learned, reinforced, escalated. And that's one of, you know, the kind of a main pathway to violence and problem behavior.
Have you been able to quantify the impact of some of these programs?
Well, we are in the process of doing that right now. So this is a 5-year grant. Of course, I'm going to say that it takes much longer than 5 years to really do long-term community change. It's a generational process. It's not a grant. So that's the first thing I will say. But as part of our grant, we collected baseline data in 2012. And in fall of 2015, we'll be collecting follow-up data. So we're not sure if we're going to have impacted behaviors yet, because again, that takes time. But we are hoping that we'll have at least impacted the attitudes that lead to those behaviors.
Have you gotten any anecdotal feedback from teachers or even parents?
Oh yeah, we've had great feedback about the programs. The parents and the teachers that are participating in, well, the teachers that are participating in the PATHS program, which is the social emotional learning program, if they're really implementing it the way it's supposed to be done, love it and see change in their kids. Some of those teachers are going to be coaches, and we're working on training them to be the trainers so that we have capacity to keep growing this program in Colorado. And then we've got great stories from some of the parents who've participated in Strengthening Families that, if only, you know, I wish I knew this stuff sooner. It's helping me with all my kids, not just my adolescent kids.
When you see all the really bad news coming out of Denver right now, where so many shootings, so many gang killings, and just communities really in despair about this, very young people, I mean, kids involved in gangs and extreme violence. I mean, what do you think could really make a difference in those communities? I know you're working in Montbello, but say some of these other communities that are really struggling right now with the gang violence and with the killings that we're seeing in Denver.
Yeah. You know, I wish that I could say that there's a quick fix. There's no quick fix. But if we can come together and put in these communities a data-driven public health, it's a comprehensive developmental approach. You know, we've seen it in Harlem Children's Zone. You know, that's an example of a community in Harlem, New York that has, people said it could never be done there. And they are seeing different outcomes for their kids. I mean, they've spent a lot of money and they've put a lot of comprehensive programs into place, and that's the Promise Neighborhoods effort that Obama's funded. But it can be done. It doesn't even it really can be done, I guess, is what I would say. And I think it starts with the community coming together. I think our universities would be very excited. We have our prevention center. CSU, Colorado State University, has a prevention resource center that's just getting started. DU has a school of social work that's very interested in this. So we could be building these community university partnerships. In fact, I should also say the Anschutz campus, the School of Public Health, you know, we could mobilize the research community to work in partnership with the communities, not like dumping research, you know, not forcing research down the throat of the community, but working in partnership to help the communities get their data to create a really research-based, it's very grounded in research approach, but that it fits in that community so that the community owns it. And, you know, some of what we're doing in Montbello brings jobs to the community. Whenever possible, we hire people from the community. So if this stuff stays ongoing, it creates a whole different dynamic. But like I said, it's not a quick fix, and it costs money.